Hey everybody, welcome to Mosaic House Online Worship. Today's topic is how to parent a child today. And hang on, whoa. Lest some of you are saying, what? That is so irrelevant to me and my life because I'm not a parent. Listen, could you give me just 30 seconds to convince you otherwise? Listen. This message is not only for people who are going to parent a child or who will parent a child, but this is for everyone. Do you have anyone that you care about in your life who is going to have a child or who has a child? Then this is relevant to you because Christ says, the risen Lord, Jesus Christ, he encourages all of us to live out these values when it comes to parenting. So it's not just people with children, it's for everyone. It takes a village to raise a child. And if I may be so bold to challenge you, Let us not be so consumeristic saying it's irrelevant. It is relevant. I just need you to see that because you play a role in the body of Christ, in the community. And not only that, there are people in your life who have children or who will have children, and you get to come along their side and be a support. So on that note, let me ask the following questions. Would you find parenting a child today difficult in the year 2023? What do you think? Oh, I think so. A more personal question. Think about your parents. Do you suppose it was hard for them raising you up? Oh, absolutely, absolutely. One more question. How hard will it be to raise a child today? Post-COVID, 2023, there's all kinds of values and ideologies and all kinds of voices coming at us. I think it is extremely, extremely hard nowadays to raise a child. I read an article by New York Times entitled, How to Be a Modern Parent. And the article proceeds to give you all kinds of advices, counsel, and recommendations. And at the end, this is how the article concludes. Remember, there's no one right way to raise a child. Do your best. Trust yourself and enjoy the company of the small person in your life. What do you think about that conclusion? There's no one right way to raise a child. What's your response? Here's mine. Yes, but no. Yes, in terms of the style of parenting, because that depends on the temperament of the parent and also the temperament of the child, right? In that sense, there is countless way of raising a child. But with respect to the goal and the content and the expectation of parenting, I think I disagree. There are not many multiple infinite ways of raising a child in terms of the goal and the content, but there is only one way. That is to say, if there is the Creator, and there is, and if there is this God who invented parenting, and he did, then there must be the way. I can't imagine that God, the Lord Almighty, having invented the gift of parenting, says, do your best, enjoy yourself, try your best, and at the end, there's no one right way. No, I don't think so. There has to be the way. I believe one of the goals, the ultimate goals of parenting is to raise up your child the way God, the Lord Almighty, intends your parenting to be. That is asking the question, what does God want in my parenting? What does God want to my child to become in terms of his, her values, character, lifestyle, habits, right? I believe one aspect of parenting is to pass on the values and the practices to your children. So here's one example. My wife, Una, and I we have two adult children. Johanna is 26, Joshua 23. when they're toddlers, so we're talking about Johanna was 5 and a half, Joshua 2 and a half. I was working at this church in Becky, Michigan. Now, in those days when our children were young, when they would sneeze, and when, how should I say this gracefully, when nasal mucus would come out of their nostrils and nose, my wife and I would say, "Freeze!" I'm not frozen, I'm just being animated. They would sneeze, and a snot would come out of their noses, and we'd say, "What? Freeze!" And there they were. They would just freeze up, and they wait until mom and dad would come to their rescue with a piece of Kleenex, right? Okay. Now, I was working at this church in Michigan one Sunday. I was preaching, and my wife, Une, was serving on the praise team. She was playing the piano. What that meant was Johanna, 5 and a half year old, and Joshua, 2 and a half year old, they were sitting all by themselves in the pews. And wouldn't you know it? That's right. Joshua sneezed, and snot came out of her nose. I'm not just talking about any snot. I'm talking about, you know, the thick and yellow kind, and this was hanging, pardon me. It was hanging out of his nose. Guess what he did? He froze, because mom and dad taught him to freeze up when such would occur. Poor guy. And he froze for the longest time, but mom and dad did not come to his rescue. But his sister did, 5 and a half year old. And there was Johanna, and this was a big church. There were about 400 people in attendance, and Johanna took her little brother by the hand and walked out down the aisle, and everyone is looking at the preacher's son with snot hanging down. Okay. I was so proud, because we passed on a good practice. Freeze, and our children delivered. But seriously, I believe one of the ultimate goals of parenting is pass down to the next generation, to your sons and daughters, the values, the principles that the good Lord God has revealed in His good book, the Holy Scripture. I want to use a really important verse. It's coming to us from the book of Proverbs, chapter 22, verse 6. It's one verse, so let's read it together. This is the word of the Lord. Let's read it together. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Train up a child in the way she should go, and when she is old, she will not depart from it. Okay, it's a double-edged sword, meaning if you don't, you are always instilling some set of values and practice to your children, no matter how you do it. It's like the definition of culture. Culture is that which you shape into being. You instill values into this culture, and you shape this culture, or whatever you allow into being, that is also shaping the culture. Same thing with parenting. You are either influencing your child by the values and the practices of the Bible as God has revealed them to you, and when you allow anything else to influence them on their own, you are also letting that set of values and practices train up your child. And that's why it is imperative that we do it the right way, the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you train up a child, inevitably, that, you know that word train up, okay? It also means to dedicate. This is a Hebrew word. To dedicate a child in the way he should go. Or you discipline a child in the way he should go. Let me tell you about my dad. When my dad was about 5 years old, his mother passed away, and my grandfather remarried. The stepmother and my grandfather had their own children. 4 in total. But my father noticed that the stepmother would discipline her own children, but she would never discipline him. And as, even though he was very young, he saw something, he felt something, he believed something in his heart, which was this: my stepmother does not love me the way she loves her own children, because she would discipline them, but she would not discipline my dad. Here's what the Bible says. Let me take you to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? They disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, in order that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. So again, the main verse is Proverbs. Train up your child in the way he should go. There is the way, not many different ways, the way he should go, as God has revealed the way to you. Then when he's old, he will not depart from it. He's going to love the Lord God with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength, and he will love his neighbors as himself, which is a really good goal of parenting. So please utilize the sermon notes. Here's the theme and the goal for today. Parent your child just as how your Heavenly Father parents you. One more time. The way you and I would parent a child today is parent your child, parent them. How? What qualifies that? What does that look like? Just as your Heavenly Father parents you. There's only one perfect parent, and that's not me, and that's not you. I have made so many mistakes as a father. My children will tell you that. And we all have failed as parents and as children. Yes, we have. But there is only one perfect parent, and that is your Heavenly Father in heaven. He is perfect. He is all good, all wise, all patient, and all loving. So as he parents you, and yes, he still is parenting you and me, no matter how old we are, and that's how we should model our parenting of our own children. So for the remainder of time, I want to share with you some big principles. Now, my challenge in preparing this message was, there's just so much to be said. I think we could do a sermon series like 52 weeks on the topic of parenting. But for today, I just want to give you the big overview, the overarching principles. Are you ready? So let's go. Number one, recognize that your child belongs to your Heavenly Father ultimately and not to you. I think this is one of the most common mistakes that parents make, which is the children are theirs. As if, God, you must bless our children. God, you must do this for my son. God, you must make my daughter succeed. God, you must keep them. Stop the truck right there. Back up the truck. Your child belongs to the Lord God Almighty, the Creator God. The reason they are born, the reason they have breath in their lungs, the reason they are living at this very instant is they belong to God, and God has a plan and a purpose for them. And you need to recognize that by saying, oh Lord, this child belongs to you. My son is actually yours. You have loaned him out to me. You are giving me the honor and the pleasure and the privilege of loving this child and raising them up in the way of Jesus Christ, but he belongs to you. Once you recognize that, you will have a different perspective. Your job is to raise up your child for the Heavenly Father, to whom he belongs. You see the difference? So remember that. That's very important. He is not yours. She is not yours. Ultimately, they belong to your Heavenly Father. Number two, principle. Love and accept them. Love and accept them. But do not make them the center of your life or their own lives. And this is so important. Another common mistake that I see parents making is they fail to train their child and help him see where he belongs in this large scheme of things. The parents who love and accept them to the point, which I really think is not true love at all, they make their child the center of their lives, the parents, and worse yet, when you do that, you are raising up a child who thinks the world revolves around him. It's all about him. You are raising up a narcissistic monster at the end. And this is so important. What we should do is instead put them in the right perspective. Help them to see who they are, where they belong, and what their role is. Let me take you to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Let's repeat that. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. What's the principle? What the Lord is saying is this. Instead of placing your child at the center of your life or center of their lives, which will turn them into narcissistic monsters, instead, put them in the right spot. And in what is that? It's through the word of the Lord as revealed in the Holy Scripture, in the Holy Bible. And here's the truth. Your child, though innocent, she is a sinner at heart. He, she is born in a sinful condition, as I was, as you were. And God, through the word, the preaching of the word and instruction of the word and dispensing of his grace and truth, our job as parents is to correct, train, admonish our own children in the way of Jesus Christ as revealed in the scripture. And that's why you cannot parent a child in the way of the Lord, the way he should go, unless you open the Bible. And they see you reading it, they see you meditating, and they see you working out, living out the applications of God's holy word, and then you train your child. Son, daughter, I love you. You are not the center of life. I love you, I accept you, but you are not the most important thing. The Lord Jesus is. And furthermore, this is what I have told my children, Johan and Joshua. As young as they were, as much as I have loved them, I said, Johanna, Joshua, the most important person, the center of my life is the Lord Jesus Christ. And after that, your mama, my wife, is more important than you guys are. I love you. I will do anything for you. I will die for you. But your mama is more important than you are to me. And that is a healthy thing for them to hear and recognize so that they may know that they are not the center of the universe. True story. In the USA, a 26-year-old woman who was living with her parents in their home, she didn't want to work. She didn't want to find a job. She just wanted to enjoy life the way she saw fit. And however, in order for her to maintain her lifestyle, she needed money, but she didn't want to work. You know what she did? She took her mom and dad to court. She sued them by saying this to the judge. Judge, I never asked my mom and dad to have me. I am not my responsibility. I am their responsibility. And she was asking for a $5,000 monthly allowance so that she may live the lifestyle that she wanted. That happened because the parents, when they were raising her up, they made her the center of their life and the center of her own life. And that's why she became a narcissistic monster. What's shocking to me is the judge sided with the girl, with the woman, 26-year-old. Can you believe that? So let's move on. The third principle. Train your child in the way of the Lord Jesus. Not any way that you think is the best. Not just try your best and just enjoy your small. No. You got to train up your child in the way of Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Another translation says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. I appreciate another translation, which says, fathers, do not embitter your children. Instead, bring them up, train them, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Two observations. Number one, we could make a mistake by embittering our children, provoking them to anger. How? One of two ways. One way is we overexert the discipline. We do that because it's not about the way of Jesus, it's about our own reputation. Or you don't want to be disappointed and you superimpose, you discipline more than you should upon your child. And this will result in embittering or exasperating your child. The other mistake is you underdo it. You don't do it enough. You just say, hands off. When that happens, as it did to my own father, when my father's stepmother would not discipline him, he felt embittered. He was exasperated. And it brought him to a place of brokenness, not only as a child, but also as an adult, and also as a parent. But instead, the Lord says, train them up, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. I want to focus on those two things. But before I do that, did you notice something? The Bible says, the Lord says, mothers, parent your children. He says instead, fathers, parent, raise up your children in this way. Now, the reason the Bible says fathers is this. When this was written over 2,000 years ago, parenting a child was it belonged to both parents, not just mothers. In our days now, since the Industrial Revolution, which happened about 1760, there has been a drastic shift. Prior to the Industrial Revolution, both parents, the father and the mother, they would participate together equally in raising up their children. But since the Industrial Revolution, there has been a shift, separation of parenting, as in fathers go to work all day and mothers stay home and mothers would parent the children. That is not the will of God. Parenting your child belongs to both the father and the mother. And that's why the head of the household, which is the father's, God is placing parenting responsibility upon the father, saying, you see to it that you and your wife raise up your children in the way of Jesus Christ. Training, it means correcting. Instruction refers to counseling, So we do both ends. We admonish, correct, rebuke our children in love. At the same time, we counsel them. We reason with them. We gotta make sure that they understand not only the what and how, but more importantly, why. This past week in my house church, we were talking about relationships. And one of the questions was, hey, if you could raise up your children all over again, how would you do it differently? One participant in my house church said, I think if I could do it all over again, not only would I be very clear on the what and the how of the training and disciplining, but also I would be very clear as to the why their mother is insisting that they read the Bible. I'll be very clear why mom would insist them on learning how to pray, as in, there is the Lord. He loves you very much, my son, my daughter, and He has a plan for you. And that plan is at the center of God's will for you. And that plan is this, that He wants you to love Him as He loves you. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. The whole Bible is summed up in that. And then that's why when you love the Lord, when you commune with Him, and when you pray to Him, and when you pray, converse with Him, this is going to shape you to become a godly character. So I thought that was very, very wise. Explain the why when you discipline and train. Number four, the fourth principle is this. Forgive your child just as your Heavenly Father forgives you, and ask them to forgive you. The three most important words in any relationship, and certainly between a parent and child, is this. I am sorry. I am sorry, son. I am sorry, daughter. I have offended you. When I disciplined you, it was out of impatience. It was something about me. I am broken myself. That the things that I inherited from my own parents, that in bitterness is also being passed on to you. Would you forgive me? I am sorry. Three most powerful remedial words in your life as you parent a child is, I am sorry. I have a really good friend. He knows me very well. We have trust. There's respect, honor, but also vulnerability. Okay? As I was talking to him about my parenting experiences, he said to me, Victor, would you consider forgiving your children? And his comment, his question stopped me on my tracks. I never thought, imagined that I needed to forgive my children. But of course, when you think about it, the people that you love the most, one of whom is your child, it is inevitable that they have hurt you, disappointed you, offended you. And I thought about that. And I came to this conclusion. Oh, Heavenly Father, as you have forgiven me, I'm going to forgive my children. And I went one step further. I sent a text to my daughter saying, honey, as a father, I have failed you many a times. Would you please forgive me? I made myself vulnerable. I was true to what I was saying. She wrote me back, two surprises. Well, the first one was, Dad, of course. Second surprise, I have already forgiven you of many sins. I wasn't sure how to take that. Was that a compliment or was that an insult? Nonetheless, after that exchange, there was healing in our relationship. So the fourth principle is, forgive your child as your Heavenly Father forgives you, and ask them for their forgiveness of your own failures as well. last, let's end with this. Number five, cultivate a healthy marriage, for it is one of the best gifts you can give to your child. You heard me right. This is about parenting. Yes. And one of the best gifts that you can give to your child is a healthy mom and dad, a healthy marriage between you and your spouse. Because when they see mom and dad working out the conflicts, wrestling, praying together, and asking for help, and taking the hard, hard steps, and working really diligently for better marriage, that is going to encourage them. They are learning how to talk about the issues. They're learning how to resolve conflicts in their own relationships in their lives. So friends, may I encourage you, cultivate health into your marriage. Cultivate. And this is the reason for which we at Mosaic House Church, we have invested time, talent, and treasure helping couples to cultivate such healthy marriages. And we are all in for this, because not only is this the will of God, but healthy marriages produce healthy parenting, and healthy parenting produces healthy children as well. Let's come to the conclusion. Again, the theme and the goal is what? Parent your child just as your Heavenly Father parents you. And remember, there is only one perfect parent, and that is your Heavenly Father. I have done many mistakes, and my own children, they need to own up to their own mistakes as well. And we can always, always learn from our Heavenly Father, because our Heavenly Father loves and accepts you, and He is giving the gift of the Holy Spirit through His Son, Jesus Christ, to help us in cultivating healthy relationships. Pray with me. Lord God Almighty, Father in heaven, we thank you for the gift of relationships, gift of marriage, gift of friendships, gift of parenting, and gift of being raised up, trained up in the way of the Lord Jesus Christ by our own mom and dad. Thank you, Lord. We pray for a day on which we as healthy people, healthy parents, healthy children, healthy families, healthy communities, may we be a blessing unto the rest of life. Neighborhoods, schools, workplaces, society, our nation, and the world. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Friends, let us now bring together our first fruits and our tithes, because our Heavenly Father has shown and proved His love and provisions, and He wants you and me to receive the grace and trust Him and worship Him and serve Him and follow Him. And we do that by bringing back to the Lord that which belongs to Him, your first fruits and your tithes. Let's do that by clicking Give Online button. Next week, we'll be talking about how to celebrate singleness. Hey, some of you saying, well, I'm not single, that's irrelevant. Well, remind you again, let us not be consumeristic. We get to bless singles in our lives. So let us join together and learn how to celebrate singleness. Now, here's my blessing to you. Would you receive it? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you both now and forevermore. And God's people said, amen, amen, amen. Love you, miss you. See you next week.